From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome, Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you are on board today. Good Wednesday to you. Hopefully you're having a fantastic day, and we appreciate you hanging out with us. So thanks for coming by today. Hey, the Packers make a move overnight, in case you have not heard. They ended up cutting Jermaine Whitehead, the guy that slapped the face mask of the New England Patriot, gets ejected from the game. Who has always had a little bit of a temper, a little bit of a hothead, but they cut him loose. I guess the question then becomes, smart move? Smart move by the Green Bay Packers? Yay, nay, indifferent? Does it matter? I don't think it really matters, to be honest with you. I know some people are saying, oh, how you do? You know what? Depth is an issue. I can understand that. If things begin to go south in a hurry, then yeah, I get it. You can start to say that maybe the Packers in the secondary aren't as deep as they need to be, but Jermaine Whitehead wasn't really getting it done to begin with. But now you are down to the mighty Raven Green, Josh Jackson, Tony Brown, Will Redmond. Don't forget you have back there Kevin King. You've got Josh Jones, is who I had mentioned, or Josh Jackson and Josh Jones and Kentrell Bryce and Jair Alexander. You got your whole bag of corners, and let's be honest, they're going to start using corners in the safety position, along with Tremont Williams, who can play safety. Although he's not really big enough to play safety, he has played it before, but you got a whole host of guys, a stable of guys that can play in the secondary that they're just going to mix and match and put all over the place.
Interesting detail from a couple of weeks ago. This was a quote from Mike Pettine talking about Whitehead. He said, Jermaine is one of the smartest guys on the defense. He knows it inside and out.
Well, there you go.
So did they cut him because of the slap?
You would figure. You would figure. You would say, you know, okay, well, what's the reason you're gone? You know, did you because you lost your temper?
But 2 weeks ago, he was praised by the defensive coordinator.
Yeah. Well, they talked about Lindsey Pipkins like he was the next coming of Charles Woodson. He's no longer here. I think it's just you build up the guys you have. That's the flavor of the day, and you move on. You know, what else do you say? 855-830-864. Let me ask you this. Do you think Brian Gutekunst, is this heading in the right direction? Do you think he's got his arms around this in a correct fashion? Yay or nay? Just a question. Do you think that he has his arms around this in the correct way? Just thoughts. That's all. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Do you think that Brian Gutekunst, the Packers general manager, has his arms wrapped around this thing in the correct fashion? 855-830-8648. Let me also say this, that the whole thing with, I'm listening to people now just jump on the rip Aaron Rodgers bandwagon, much like we heard yesterday for Colin Cowherd. I had said yesterday when we played that there are things out there that make me think. Never said I agreed with everything. I just said there's things out there that make me think. And I think the comparisons, I think the comparisons between him and Brady, okay, I get it. You can like we went through every aspect of that. Some of the comparisons were erroneous. So I can't get into I can't believe into every detail that was brought up, but things make me think, you know, when you talk about the quarterback play and the position. But to sit here today and all of a sudden the blame shifts from Mike McCarthy to Aaron Rodgers and to talk about Aaron Rodgers getting the contract and mailing it in. And no way at all is he mailing it in. I don't believe that. Yeah, are there things where he has philosophical differences with the head coach? I can believe that in a heartbeat. Does he change plays at the line of scrimmage? Well, if there's matchups that he likes, he always has. Okay? That's just the way they've done things. But him going out to, quote, mail it in and just collect the paycheck because he's done with McCarthy and he's just trying to get through the season? Nope. I don't believe that at all. Don't believe it at all. Not one bit. I think that Aaron Rodgers is a competitor. I think he knows where his legacy lies. I think that I think that he understands his situation as far as him wanting to be better than Brett Favre. I think that goal is still very much in the forefront, to at least get one, if not two more Super Bowls, to get back to at least another one. I think his will to win, his demand for perfection, his sense of urgency is all began to escalate as he sees the team getting younger and he getting older. I think all of that is right there. So to heap this upon him and say, well, he's just mailing it in. No. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that at all. Not for a second. So for some of you that have gone to the Aaron Rodgers pointing the finger guy, no, I'm not that guy. I simply say you look at the facts and you look at what the eyeball test gives you. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. You try to read into what guys are thinking and you're not sure, but you can kind of tell by body language and such. And, you know, but to say mailing it in and collecting a paycheck and no. I'm nowhere near there. Nowhere even beginning to suggest that. Not at all. 855-830-8648. Hey, guys, if you're struggling with erectile dysfunction, don't be deceived by all the noise out there about the pills, this pill, that pill, whatever it happens to be, because it can be caused by many underlying health issues or just normal aging. The problem is with the pills, they don't get to the root of the problem, pardon the pun, and they have some nasty side effects. Make sure you call the medical experts at Neumel Medical Center. They're going to create an ED solution especially for you. And you can see the results on your first visit. Or the best part about it, your visit would then be free. And if you're sluggish or moody or have the brain fog, you may have low energy like I did. Hey, thanks to Neumel. Look, I got plenty of energy to keep up with my schedule. My schedule has been crazy, crazy, crazy all summer long. And if you want to shed some more pounds and get into the holiday season and be looking good, feeling better, check out the Neumel all-in-one weight loss program, because I'm down 50 and have kept it off. Okay, I need to ride the bike a little bit more, get a little more weightlifting in, but for the most part, man, I've kept it off and feeling great. Feel younger. Get back in the game. Just call Neumel Medical Center, 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. They have locations in Milwaukee and in Green Bay. Call them today, 414-455-4451. Do you believe Brian Gutekunst has his arms wrapped around this thing? If he's not necessarily sending messages to the locker room, then he's just kind of trimming dead wood. Let's go to Jason in South Milwaukee. Jason, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Hey, guys, I am well. Thanks for taking my call. I think Gundertrust knows exactly what he's doing. I think he's got a plan of attack, and I don't think that means going after people at the trade deadline or anything like that. I think that he's going to make a lot of necessary moves that need to take place with this team in the offseason. It's going to start with free agency and trickle over into the draft. He had a solid draft last year, and he did put his toes in free agency a bit. I think we're going to see more of that right now. I think he is to get rid of Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, figure something out with Nick Milkpart and Perry, and Brian Bulaga, I'm not sure, but I trust what Gundertrust is doing. I like him, so I'll hang up and listen, guys.
All right, appreciate it. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. Do you believe that Brian Gutekunst has this kind of his arms around the whole situation? Do you believe he has his arms around the whole situation? In Green Bay, letting go of Jermaine Whitehead, the guy that did the slap and then the ejection, do you believe that he's got his arms wrapped around this whole thing? 855-830-8648. Want to get your opinion on this when we come back, because there's some changes going on in Green Bay. Stay tuned. Got a lot more. Bucks take a loss last night. Want to get into that. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold Insider, going to be joining us coming up here at the bottom of the hour as well. A lot more of the Bill Michael Show right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Let the good times roll. And I want these words to make things right, but it's the wrongs that make the words come to life. But who does he think he is? If that's the worst you got, better put your fingers back to the key. One night, one more time. Thanks for the memories.
Welcome back. The Michael Show on the air. We are glad you're on board. Glad you're on board. Talk more about Aaron Rodgers coming up here after the top of the hour. Hang in there. Also, in case you didn't see it, it was in USA Today. It was also inside the NFL. But Bill Belichick was mic'd up during the game on Sunday night and had some things to say about Aaron Rodgers. Now, some people are going crazy on this stuff. You know, like, oh my God, he's bad-mouthing Rodgers. He's simply saying that, hey, he's lobbing it up there. Some of his guys aren't in the right place at the right time. He's just throwing the ball right now. Keep pressuring up the guy. Look, the big, and I wrote this last night. If you haven't read it over at the website, go to BillMichaelsSports.com. That's BillMichaelsSports.com. If you haven't read this already, what everybody seemed to gloss over, in case you didn't pay attention to it, but what he said, which I thought was so interesting. He said, yeah, he's just lobbing it up there. Okay, that's great. But he also went on to say, keep pressuring up the gut on those guards. Keep blanking the blank out of those guards. Keep working the blank out of those guards. And that's where we've seen teams try to, the A-gap, man. They're not going around the end as often. What they're doing is they're crashing down on the guards, on Lane Taylor, and they're crashing over on the opposite side on Byron Bell. And they're coming up the gut and trying to drive Corey Linsley, making him make a choice, and opening up a hole and trying to put pressure on Aaron Rodgers and making him run backwards. And that's how teams are getting to him. And if anything came of that, it's not, hey, get around the outside on Brian Bulaga or David Bakhtiari. No. It's up the gut. A-gap. We're going to press him through the A-gap. They can't stop us. That's probably the more concerning thing. So watch that in games to come where teams just crash the A-gap. Because they're making Corey Linsley choose. Go to Lane Taylor's side or go to Byron Bell's side. And see if those guys can handle a big rush. Where they're shooting a down lineman and then bringing a linebacker through. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. 8648. Boy, Bucks went cold last night. No Giannis towards the end of that ball game. They ended up getting beat on the road. And you know what? It's one game. I'm not, you know, some people go, oh my God, they lost to Portland's a pretty good team. I'm not overly concerned about that game. Portland's a pretty good basketball team. 118-103 last night. Bucks take it on the chin. They've got that West Coast swing going on. But Not a horrific night by the Milwaukee Bucks by any stretch of the imagination. Just got beat. Got beat on the road. 855-830-8648. Back at it. One of the ways that teams are going to beat the Bucks is if the Bucks go cold and teams start to just exploit the line, because the Bucks are not playing defense beyond the arc. They're saying, look, we'll give you some mid-range. That's about it. But beyond that, nah. We're not going to come out to the arc. If you can shoot the ball, we'll just keep up with you. And if they don't keep up with you, it is what it is. It is what it is. If we can't keep up, we're going to lose some games. Bucks have been shooting the ball well. I'm not down on the Bucks. 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free to do it. 855-830-8648. Again, they lose last night 118-103 and get beat. Wasn't a terrible performance. Giannis ended up with 23 last night. Middleton with 22. Lopez with 22. He dropped on him last evening. But like I said, Giannis not in the ball game. Late in that ball game, they were hoping to get that thing a little bit closer before putting him back in, save him a little bit. I don't blame Budenholzer. Some people were upset about it, but I don't blame Budenholzer. Just didn't look like they were going to come back. They didn't shoot well second half of that ball game. So there you have it. 855-830-8648. But I'll say this, I like the style of play. Nothing changes my mind after just their second loss of the season. I like their style of play. I like what it is they're doing. I think the Bucks are going to be a team to be contended with. all season long. I mean, obviously, Giannis would go down, and that might change things for a lot of people. Bucks right now, they're a game behind Toronto. Toronto's a very good basketball team. The only blemish on their record is the Milwaukee Bucks, who were without Giannis at the time, by the way. Toronto 10-1, Bucks 8-2. They've already beaten Indiana 7-4. They beat Boston. Boston 6-4 in the season. You know, they've beaten Philadelphia. So, good team. No, they didn't beat Boston. I'm sorry. They didn't beat Boston. That was their first loss of the season. They didn't beat Boston. Boston 6-4 in the season. The Bucks have lost to Portland and to Boston. But they beat Indiana and they beat Toronto, the two teams that are right around them atop the East. They're a good basketball team. I'm feeling good about what the Bucks are doing. Hopefully you are too. I mean, this is going to, like I said, barring some kind of an injury or injury, you know, ridden team, I think Budenholzer's let it fly mentality has these guys enjoying playing basketball again. I really like what they have going on. 855-830-8648. This one's from Mark, who writes in Wendy's email inbox, do you really think Gutekunst is not sending a message? Of course he is. This team needs discipline, and Mike McCarthy has lost a team, which is why the general manager and the quarterback have to step up and start disciplining some of these players. It's all on Mike McCarthy. See, no, it's not. How do you know Mike McCarthy didn't go to Gutekunst and say, get this guy out of my locker room? How do you know that? You don't. How do you know that McCarthy didn't do that? I think that they're trimming dead wood. I mean, you go back to last year for what they had at the end of the season as opposed to what they have now. That roster's changed dramatically. They're getting rid of guys left and right. So they're reshaping this thing. It's not a rebuild. Make no mistake about it. It's not a rebuild. But if you want to call it a retool, a tweaking, a reloading, you can get better in a hurry in the National Football League if you have decent talent to begin with and then add some pieces. The problem is, defensively speaking, they don't have a Pro Bowler. You can maybe say Kenny Clark or Mike Daniels up front, or even if those guys get like second team or rotational team and they make the Pro Bowl via somebody else going down with injury, but they're that caliber. But beyond that, tell me right now, Jaire Alexander maybe? I mean, he's having a pretty solid season, but the depth, Montrevious Adams, hello, Reggie Gilbert. You know, they traded for Antonio Morrison. They picked him up because they needed some addition back there. They needed some depth. Oren Burks is coming along. Blake Martinez is extremely solid. Nick Perry is kind of a milk carton guy. And then you've got the youth and the experience of Tremont Williams in that secondary. But, I mean, they had the shutout against the Buffalo Bills, and you can't just throw that out. You can't just say, wow, it's Buffalo, screw it. Yeah, and Buffalo scored points on other teams. You have to give the Packers credit for what they did against Buffalo, but in the grand scheme of things, when you look at the Packers' schedule, now their defense is put in precarious positions. They've been put in short fields a few times. And the offense has failed. I think if I want to point the finger more so than anything, I point it more at the offense than I do the defense. But the defense isn't, put it this way, the defense isn't a mistake coverer. They're not an eraser. You can't put that defense in bad situations. They just don't hold up. And when they do hold up, the Packers' offense has been offensive. They haven't really capitalized on anything. 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. I want to hear from you. This one's from Mark, who says, first on the Bucks, I think that Giannis is an MVP candidate this year. He would have come in that game last night and tied things up, I guarantee it. No. No. He might have. I mean, but no. That game was... Portland wasn't missing down the stretch. They were hitting shots. Bucks weren't defending the shot. Defense at this point in time is a lost art. And here's the problem. When you need it and you need the lockdown defense once you get to the postseason, you got to be able to draw it from somewhere. You got to be able to bring it up from somewhere. So at some point in time, they're going to have to play a little bit of it. Not a lot. I'm not sitting here being Jason Kidd preaching defense, but unless you have a big lead, they're going to draw from it somewhere. Because when you get into the postseason in tight games, you're going to have a lockdown stand every now and then. But last night they weren't playing that too often. He then goes on to write that he thinks that Brian Gutekunst is trying to make up for all the mistakes of Ted Thompson. This team is still 2 years away, so they have wasted Aaron Rodgers, and that's a damn shame. No way Ted Thompson should be going into the Hall of Fame. Ted Thompson, if you didn't know, they bumped it up to May, and Ted Thompson's going to be inducted into the Packers Hall of Fame. Remember, Ted took it over when he had a 4-12 season staring him in the face. Mike Sherman was on his way out. Ted took over. Bob Harlan made the decision, just you can't have a head coach, do both. B.J. Sander was evidence of that. So Mike Sherman, he gets stripped of the general manager title. Ted Thompson is hired. The team has been drafted for his job and not necessarily for the best betterment of the future. He brings in Mike McCarthy. They get to an NFC Championship game under McCarthy with Brett Favre. Their first choice, their first draft, is Aaron Rodgers. And remember, now for those that say it didn't matter, remember it was as unpopular gets for him to draft Aaron Rodgers. And if you don't believe me, I was sitting right there on the dais inside the atrium when they made the announcement that Aaron Rodgers, the 24th pick overall that year, was coming to Green Bay. And after that, they picked up Nick Collins, another guy that was on his way to a Hall of Fame career before the neck injury happened. And then they picked up Brady Papenga, a really solid linebacker that was a good fill-in guy, and the rebuild was on. Some guys hung around for a while out of that one, Junius Kostin and Michael Hawkins and Will Whitaker, but you found your guys. Then after that, it was A.J. Hawk, Darren College, Greg Jennings, Jason Spitz, Johnny Jolly. They had depth with the offensive line, a tackle with Tony Maul in that one. They had a lot of guys come out of that draft as well when they were going for the depth. And then the Justin Harrell pick happened, remember. But after that, he picked up Brandon Jackson. But then it was James Jones, Alan Barber, who was serviceable, Corey Hall, the linebacker, who was okay. But then Desmond Bishop, Mason Crosby, which that wasn't a great one. Deshaun Wynn gave him depth at running back. And after that, it was Jordy Nelson, JerMichael Finley, Josh Sitton, Matt Flynn, who was a backup in Green Bay for a while, continue to fortify. Then you pick up B.J. Raji, Clay Matthews, and T.J. Lang in the next draft in 2009. And that's when things really began to fall into place. Because Bulaga comes in the next year and takes over for an injured Mark Tauscher. You had Mike Neal, Morgan Burnett, Marshall Newhouse, James Starks. They picked up James Starks, who began to run the ball extremely well. They needed him down the stretch after Ryan Grant went down with the injury. C.J. Wilson, who was that big body up front, they got him in a seventh round draft choice in 2010, and everything fell into place. So the draft and develop was really on pace at that point in time. Does Ted deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? Yeah, he does. If he's a Super Bowl winning general manager, he's going to get in the Hall of Fame. What have you done for me lately? No. No. His last draft from 2017, now you got to wait and see, because Kevin King needs to stay healthy, and Josh Jones needs to pan out. Montrevious Adams is a milk carton. Vince Beagle is gone, but Jamal Williams is a solid 1-2 punch in the running back, along with Aaron Jones. So they've gotten some good guys out of that draft. You just need, between Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones, and Kevin King, that's decent draft. You get Josh Jones to turn into something in that secondary, it's a really good draft. So Ted Thompson would then, in essence, go out on a high note. Because right before that, he had Kenny Clark and Blake Martinez, but trading up to get Jason Spriggs, Kyler Fackrell, who needs to show more, Dean Lowry, who needs to show more, Trevor Davis, Kyle Murphy, all of that. So got to get a little bit better, but Ted Thompson deserves to be there. I know there's some hatred for Ted right now, but Ted Thompson deserves to be there. Hang in there. We got a lot more. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, is going to join us coming up next to the Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Need the latest news and analysis on your Green and Gold? Well, we better call Paul. Green and Gold analyst Paul Emig is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Welcome back to the program. Bill Michaels Show on the air. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul, how are you doing today?
Hey, Bill, I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing good. So, first of all, Jermaine Whitehead no longer with his team. My question is, do you feel that Brian Gutekunst has his arms wrapped around this organization properly?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, he said the other week with the Ty Montgomery and HaHa Clinton-Dix trade that he wasn't sending messages. This is sending a message, you know? And what I kind of find surprising about that is, was what Whitehead did stupid? Yeah, it was. It was reactionary. He was the guy that they caught the second guy, which so often happens in the NFL with officiating, is they catch the guy who reacts. I don't know if you looked into some of the analytics. What Whitehead's ejection did, Bill, was force the Packers to have to get away from their preferred packages defensively, especially in the dime. And so from a personnel perspective, they didn't have a guy to naturally step in and be able to run the same stuff. So it's not the thing that cost them the game, but it's one of the things that cost them the game. And I think if you are not a top 10 player on this roster and you speak out of turn, you make a costly, stupid mistake like Whitehead, whether he should have been ejected or not is, I think, certainly its own conversation. But if you're going to do something stupid that's going to cost this team, or you're going to speak out of school and you're not a top 10 player, I mean, if it was a top 10 player, Bill, they'd say, you know, let's brush it aside, let's move past it. If you're not, you're gone. And I think that message is being sent loud. If it wasn't sent with Clinton-Dix and Montgomery, it was sent with Whitehead. And it's very much a, you know, ship up or ship out. So I said that wrong, but, you know, shape up or ship out type of thing. And I think that message is going to be received pretty loud and clear after Whitehead getting, you know, getting released pretty much unceremoniously the next day.
So moving forward, let me ask you this, because we had somebody say, well, you know, he's doing the job that Mike McCarthy should have done, and that's the reason Aaron Rodgers is speaking up, is because of the discipline and this team needs it. And, you know, how do we know Mike McCarthy didn't go to Brian Gutekunst and say, hey, this guy, man, he doesn't got it? I mean, even though we're sitting here, you know, listening, Joe had it earlier that, you know, Jermaine Whitehead was a guy that really understood Pettine's system as one of the better players. How do we know that this isn't one of the Mike McCarthy going to Brian Gutekunst to say, you got to get rid of this cat?
Well, you know what I think would be a fascinating update? You know what I haven't heard about, Bill, in about 3 months is these weekly meetings that were supposed to take place between Mark Murphy, Brian Gutekunst, and Mike McCarthy. Have you heard anything about that in the last 3 months?
No, not a word.
And I bring that up because, to your point, maybe it was Mike McCarthy. Maybe it was Mark Murphy, because if these meetings are taking place as Mark Murphy said they were going to on a weekly basis, these are probably the things that are being discussed. I don't know if it's McCarthy bring it up, Gutekunst bring it up, Mark Murphy bring it up, or if it's just Gutekunst unilaterally saying, I'm the GM and I'm releasing this guy. We don't know the answer to that. So yes, I think it's very fair to wonder. Now, under a normal power structure, this would never be a question. It would be the GM's responsibility to do that. But, you know, if these weekly three-headed person meetings are taking place like Mark Murphy said they were going to, then maybe it is a group decision. You know, maybe it's okay, everyone, show of hands, cut Whitehead, two votes to one, okay, we cut Whitehead. That could be what's going on, Bill, and I think that's probably, you know, something that we'll find out sooner than later from Mark Murphy or from Brian Gutekunst, but I think that's the next question in this whole thing, especially when decisions like this are being made on back-to-back weeks from guys that are, you know, either stepping out of line or speaking out of school.
I'm reading today an article on the Packers about some of the things that are changing at the halfway point here of the season, and that the Packers, are they, quote, packing it in? See, I don't think you could ever say that the Packers are, quote, packing it in. I don't think that's happening. I do think the Packers are in transition right now, but I think, as much as I wanted to say, and I still believe that this game that just took place in New England was a big game, because that sets into motion a lot of different things, because now you haven't won on the road, you haven't been able to beat a team that's really 500 or better consistently, and one of the best teams that's out there you couldn't hang with, and you made mistakes, and some of the same mistakes continue to happen. So my question then becomes, what happens if, say, they win the next two games but lose to Minnesota? I mean, is there this false hope that maybe they can get to the postseason, or is this team – the old adage is you are what your record says you are. Does that mean I believe that the Chicago Bears are a 5-3 team? Well, they got a pretty good defense, but are the Packers really this 3-4-1 team in your eyes?
Yes, Bill. I think they are. I think we knew when the schedule came out that they would have to get fat early in the season. They would have to load up on wins against Washington and San Francisco and Buffalo and Detroit and Chicago. You know, 5-1 was probably a very realistic thought process for this team before the season started, because then you knew coming out of the bye you were going to get 4 out of 5 on the road, back-to-back road games against, you know, two of the better teams in the league, especially going coast-to-coast, Rams to Patriots. Bill, I'm watching a team that I think is very much a 3-4-1 type team, and I think I would give you a specific point on that, and I know you've talked a lot about, in recent weeks, their struggles once they get to the 30-yard line, the 35-yard line, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I saw some statistics today from The Athletic that I'm not sure if you saw these. This is where the Packers rank in the NFL inside the 30-yard line, okay? Third down conversion, 17th. Touchdown efficiency, 20th. Inside the 30 completion percentage, last.
Right.
32nd. When they get inside the 30, Bill, there is not a team in the league with a worse completion percentage on their passing plays than the Aaron Rodgers Green Bay Packers. So you can't be that bad inside the 30 and expect to be better than 3-4-1. Yeah, I mean, a play here or a play there, of course, they could be better. But, when the offense is your calling card, when Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback, and you have those type of numbers when you get to the 30, you're going to lose. You're
right.
Not going to beat the Patriots or the Rams. You're going to lose to the Lions. You're going to lose to Washington, teams that you shouldn't lose to even on the road. So, to sum it, I would say, yes, I think this is a team that, with the talent they have, and I do believe they have talent, and is Aaron Rodgers playing like Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers? No, but he's still better than 26 starting quarterbacks on an every week basis with his eyes closed. Maybe he's the sixth best or eighth best or whatever, but like, there's still a whole lot of teams who would trade their quarterback in a heartbeat for to have even a hobbled Rodgers this Sunday for one game. But they have to correct a lot of that stuff offensively, especially those numbers inside the 30, if they have any chance of turning the season around.
That's just it. Do you believe they have a shot at really turning the season around?
I do, Bill. I do, but it kind of goes back to what I said 2 weeks ago coming out of the bye. That's more based on blind faith and optimism that Aaron Rodgers is better than this, that Mike McCarthy is better than this. So they're not playing better than 3-4-1, but I do somehow think, and maybe it's blind optimism, whatever, that they should be. And so from that perspective, I'm not willing to say it's impossible, because it's not. The 4-6 Packers of 2 years ago seemed like it was impossible, and then it wasn't. So, but there's nothing I've actually seen watching them this year that would indicate they can turn it around. You just have to almost rely on history to give you that optimism, or just the fact of, well, it's Aaron Rodgers and he'll figure it out. And those are pretty much, I think, the only things you can fall back on. And other than that, I think you're probably lying to yourself. So it's not all lost, Bill. It could be turned around, but there's a lot of work to do if that's going to happen.
See, I completely agree. I think they can. I'm not saying they can't, but I think there's a ton of work to get done. Look, some people are saying, and I can kind of be sold on this, that, hey, they were a couple of plays away from beating the Rams. They were a fumble and maybe a mistake away from even staying with or beating the New England Patriots. But they make the same mistakes. We see the clock management be poor at times. We see the offense, you can't really figure out why the personnel groupings are what they are at times. You see some things that they repeat the same mistakes, and the old adage is, if you try to do the same thing over and over again and it doesn't work, it's going to make you crazy. I see the same thing sometimes out of Mike McCarthy. So I don't know how far away they are. I want to believe that they're closer to being better than they are being worse, but I don't know if this season has change in it. You know what I mean? I just don't know if they have it in them to be able to say, okay, I can get this done.
Yeah, I would just quick summarize at the end of that, Bill, and I would say, If you were not allowed to draw upon recent history as a reason for them turning around, and you were forced to only rely on game film, you would say the Packers have no chance. That is what the game film shows. that this is not a serious NFC contender. That's what the film shows. I think the only calling card, the only thing that you can lean back on is recent history and the idea that Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. But he's not been Aaron Rodgers this year, and you know what I mean by that? Like, he's not been historically all-time great Aaron Rodgers this year. And it's a fascinating debate because nothing they have showed through eight games would indicate anything other than a 7-8-1 type of season, and that's going to get Mike McCarthy fired, and that's just not good enough for a team that I think, well, A, has Aaron Rodgers, and B, I believe, I know some people disagree with me, has some pretty doubt. Is the middle of their roster weak? Yes. Is the back end of their roster probably a little bit weak? Yes. But I think there's too many good players on this team for them to finish that type of year, and I'm sure a 7-8-1 type of non-playoff season, I think everyone agrees that would cost McCarthy his job.
Paul, good stuff. We will chat again soon, okay?
All right, Bill.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you later. There you go, Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You are a car, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. It wasn't all bad in New England, but it wasn't great either. We'll talk more about that. Talk some college hoops later today as well. Hang in there. More of the Bill Michael Show after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show, we continue on. Big night for the Wisconsin college basketball teams. Wisconsin gets a win. Marquette grabs one. Boy, I tell you what, they had a lead. I think they're up by 10 or more. The Panthers were, UWM Panthers. And they were 0 for like 27 or something like that in the second half of the ball game. Last night. It was awful, awful shooting last night. They couldn't hit anything. And they ended up losing, I think, by 20. I was paying attention to that game for a while because I'm thinking, okay, it should be a pretty good night on the hardwood for a lot of the local teams. And, man, they just – now I play in Boston College. But, man, it's kind of fell apart. Coppin State was the opponent last night for Wisconsin. And what was the opponent last night for Marquette, Joe, off the top of your head? You remember? They were the team that was the 16th
UMBC.
Seed. UMBC.
UMBC.
Yeah, they were the team that upset Virginia last year, the number one seed in the tournament. And the first time ever a 16 seed knocks off a number one seed. So UMBC got a lot of national coverage last year. And they were taking on Marquette. Marquette ended up beating them last night. But an opening night for college basketball. I can't believe college basketball is here already, but it is, as we sit here right now on the 7th of November.
Ethan Happ with a triple-double last night for the Badgers. It's only been, the second time that's ever been done in Badger history, which I find that hard to believe.
That's like unreal. That's unreal that that's like the second time it's ever happened. that's mind-boggling.
Do I have that right?
I have no idea. You telling me that is making me go, holy crap. So if that's true, that's like, what the heck? That's amazing. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. This one's from Mark, who says, hey, guys, great pickup on what Bill Belichick had to say about up the gut of the Green Bay Packers. He exploits people's weaknesses, and he's the best at it. We should consider upgrading the package on the offensive line this offseason. That's, you know what? They're not considering it. That's a priority. That's a priority. They've got to upgrade the offensive line. At least the depth and have some legitimate, competition, so to speak, come camp next year. They got to go ahead and upgrade that thing. It's not a consideration. It's something that they must do. Now, I think if you go into the postseason or you go into the offseason next year, and I don't want to get into the offseason just yet too heavily, but I mean, you're automatically thinking about, again, drafting in the secondary, pass rush, depth on the defensive line, depth on the offensive line. You're probably going to maybe grab a wide receiver, another one, because chances are Randall Cobb won't be back. So you're going to need some additional depth. You'll get Geronimo Allison back, yes, who is done for the year with a groin injury and is going to require surgery. And if you've ever had a groin surgery, oh, my God. Talk about a painful surgery. But you're going to have some depth at wide receiver, and you got a good running group right now. So, I mean, that's not one of your top priorities, but you can pretty much throw a dart at a dartboard at this point and say you're going to have to upgrade defensively. You know, so you need bodies up front. You need pass rushers. You need secondary guys. You need all the help you can get. And then you obviously need to upgrade the offensive line. Those are the, and I'm not even sure where your number one, two, three, four, and five priorities are. You can pretty much mix and jumble just whatever falls to you, the best available talent at that particular position at that time, grab it. It is what it is.
Josh Gosser is the only other Badger to have a triple-double in UW history.
Oh,
so him and Ethan Happ, that's it. I can't believe
that's amazing. Let's get into this in the next hour, shall we? Give me your level of concern or blame for the offense not being effective, and I'll give you some stats when we come back. How much do you lay at the feet of Aaron Rodgers? Okay, seriously, because some of you people are just, you're a little bit cray-cray. We want to get into that when we come back. Hang in there. More of the Bill Michael Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.